Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today, I'm looking at a video where Lucas of the channel Deflate responds to a TikToker, Christy Burke, who is responding to a comment saying that she just owned herself. So we've got a bit of a response videoception going on here. Christy has a YouTube channel, so I'll go ahead and link to that. Just from watching her 5 Bible passages that caused me to lose my faith video, I can tell that she's a very thoughtful person who goes out of her way to provide proper context for the Bible passages that she uses, rather than just going for the easy one-liner style argument. And that's something that I greatly appreciate. It's not always easy to do. So go check her out and say hi. I will just point out here that I do not speak for Christy. She is perfectly capable of speaking for herself. So if I explain how I interpreted something that she said, it is possible that I have not correctly interpreted that statement. So whatever I say is my own statement and my opinion, not hers. Though certainly if we were to sit down and talk it through, we'd probably find many points of agreement. Lucas also puts in a bunch of irrelevant B-roll that I'll be ignoring, but it came along with some obnoxious sound effects. They've been minimized by the same process that I used to take out the background music in order to stay copyright safe on my end, but they are still there, and I'm sorry about that. Anyway, let's get on to the video. But first, a word from today's sponsor. Me! You know, every now and then, I remember that I do things other than just my Friday videos. For instance, a few weeks ago, I remembered to start telling you guys about my Wednesday livestreams with Cirrus on my other channel, The Watering Hole, and it has seen a corresponding increase in subscribers as people who might actually want to watch that sort of thing are made aware of its existence. Well, along similar lines, I have a store. Want my logo on a shirt, sweater, or a mug? Want stickers? Want a sweater with a design from that time that I thought I was clever and made kids stealing cookies into an analogy for the evidence for evolution? Well, then I've got you covered. Head on over to merch.vicerhino.com or click the link in the description to browse the selection. Use code RHINO15 at checkout for a limited time to get 15% off your order. Act now, this offer will only last for an arbitrary amount of time that I decided on in advance in order to create a false sense of scarcity. That's merch.vicerhino.com and promo code RHINO15. Back to the video!
I feel like the only way you could conclude that the evidence points to there being a God more so than it points to there not being a God is because you're already presupposing that there is a God.
To a point. The problem here is the subjective nature of all of the evidence for God. So if you start from a position of already believing in God, then the argument, say, from design seems obvious. I already believe that everything is designed, so when you say that all designed things need a designer, that makes sense. If you don't start from that position, though, it doesn't get you there, because the only way any apologist ever explains how they can tell if something is designed is by hypothetical comparisons of designed things with undesigned things. Well, if you start from a position of believing that everything is designed, then how do you make that determination? It's rather tautological, is it not? And such is the case for all of the arguments for God, and everything that has ever been put forward as evidence for God. God always winds up being either an assumption or the result of an assumption.
Well, I guess C.S. Lewis and countless other atheists who turned theists would disagree with you here.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd actually wager that most Christians disagree, because they don't like the idea that there's no good evidence for the existence of the God that is central to their lives. Unfortunately for you, though, the truth of a claim is not decided by how many Christians agree or disagree with it.
But let's leave that aside for a moment, because I'm baffled by the fact that you introduced talk about evidence by saying how you feel like.
I feel like...
Well, no, the video isn't really about that. It's her giving her opinion on what the commenter that she's responding to has said. The phrase, I feel like, is generally used in common speech to indicate an area where the person is speculating, but thinks they have good reason for their speculations. In this case, since she's questioning the underlying motivations of the person that she's interacting with, unless that person has confirmed their motivations to her, she has no 100% sure way of knowing if she is actually correct here. So she uses the common phrase, I feel like, to open the discussion in order to show that there is a degree of uncertainty about her conclusions here because of the nature of the conclusions that she is drawing.
I've done the same thing myself on a number of occasions. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that I feel like that's what Christy is doing in this video, but without talking to her, I can't know for certain.
Now, did you know that this emotion-based assertion of yours could just as well be used against you? I mean, why don't you feel like the only way you could conclude that the evidence points to their not being a god, more so than to their being a god, is because you're already presupposing that there is no god?
I'm sure there are some people to which that applies, but in my experience, most atheists begin their journey into atheism with the exact opposite presupposition. I realize that this is basically the same as you name-dropping C.S. Lewis in order to counter her opposite statement, but I have found it to be far more common for people to start with Christianity as a presupposition and wind up at atheism than the other way around. I couldn't find any hard data to back that up, but given that there has been a continuing trend since at least the 1970s of a growth of the religiously unaffiliated and the shrinkage of Christianity, it stands to reason that the deconversion rate is higher than the conversion rate, especially given that Christians tend to have more babies than atheists and agnostics, yet they still make up a declining share of the population. In fact, Pew Research has looked directly at religious switching and has found that between 2015 and 2020, Christianity lost nearly 8.2 million members worldwide due to people deconverting, while the unaffiliated group gained nearly 7.6 million. So, like, I can't just assume that all of the people who switched to being unaffiliated in that 5-year period started out as Christians who presuppose the existence of God, but the numbers work in such a way as to all but guarantee that more people begin with God as a presupposition and wind up losing their belief than the other way around.
But anyway, let's move on.
Religion is a man-made concept, and it has been used since the beginning of humanity to describe what we don't understand about our reality.
Yes, religion is a system of thought that is man-made, but so what?
What do you mean, so what? If religion was created by man, then that means, at the very least, that any gods that might exist did not give us any instructions as to how to set up religions. Ergo, if any religion contains any amount of truth, it's not because it came from God, it was a human discovery. If that's the case, then we may as well discard religion and rely on our own faculties in our search for truth and knowledge.
Even science, which you believe in with such religious fervor as we're about to see, is man-made.
Yeah, but science doesn't claim to originate with God. If scientists all said that they got their ideas from divine inspiration, then this comparison might work. But since science is explicitly set up in a way that will account for our various cognitive biases and weed out bad or incorrect ideas that are the result of such biases, it being man-made is not a problem. We know that there are problems with how we learn about the world as our brains try to make sense of everything through mental shortcuts that might work for evolutionary survival, but don't reliably lead to accurate understanding. And so we designed the scientific method in a way that will correct for that fact. It's not perfect, but it's gotten us a lot farther than religion ever did, and in a much shorter time span.
Are you trying to say that what is man-made is illegitimate?
I doubt very much that that was her intention. Like I said, being man-made does not inherently make something illegitimate, but we know that humans screw shit up all the time. So if something, like a religion, claims to come from a perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful God, but it shows evidence of being the result of the same screwed-up shit that people do all the rest of the time, then we can safely conclude that it is man-made. And if a God exists, it's not the one claimed by that religion.
What would that mean for your own TikTok video, which is, well, man-made?
I guess this is where we bust out the old story trope of taking the word man when used in a general sense to refer to all of humanity, and apply it unnecessarily specifically in order to loophole our way out of the problem.
No man can kill me.
I am no man.
Her video was not man-made, because she is no man.
And since the formation of religion, we have made many developments in science, in research, in learning about our world. And we can now explain things that religion once tried to explain, but didn't do so accurately or successfully.
Exactly. We didn't invent the light bulb because of religion. We didn't discover how to use sound waves to detect objects because of religion. We didn't discover insulin and figure out how it could be used to treat diabetes because of religion. We did all those things because of Canadians. Yes, the light bulb was a Canadian invention. Henry Woodward and Matthew Evans were the first people to patent a light bulb, but they didn't have the funding to continue the research in order to make a practically functional bulb, so they sold the patent to Edison. That's basically how Edison invented everything that he's credited with, by buying out other people's inventions and having his team of engineers improve on them. He was a businessman more than he was an inventor. Actually, if I'm being honest, the Canadians weren't the only people to invent a light bulb before Edison. There were over 20 of them. Woodward and Evans were just the first to patent a light bulb. There were crude bulbs being invented as far back as 1809. And this is actually a pretty common story when it comes to inventions. Very rarely is the person credited as being the first ever actually the first. They were probably just the first to successfully market the idea. Anyway, my point here is that we haven't made any scientific progress because of religion, despite there being more than ample opportunity for it to show its usefulness.
Oh, you mean the fact, for example, that Christianity has always claimed that our universe had a beginning?
Yeah, when it comes to religious explanations for the origin of the universe, there's literally two options. Either everything began when it was created by the gods, or God, or stuff has always existed in one form or another. Congrats on winning one coin flip, depending on the translation of Genesis you use. Because, as is pointed out in the Anchor Bible translation and commentary, the words translated as some variation of without form and void in Genesis 1-2 leave us with some ambiguity. The opening two verses of Genesis could, some would argue should, be translated as when God set out to create heaven and earth, the world being then a formless waste with darkness over the water. Not sure if you realize this, but a formless waste is not nothing. And given that most of the popular biblical translations were published well after the Big Bang was generally accepted as being the origin of the universe, it seems to me that this is not so much Christianity winning a coin flip as translators choosing the interpretation in an ambiguous language that best fits with the science in order to appear to have won the coin flip. Besides which, even if it was unambiguous, Christianity did not give us the tools we need to confirm that claim. That was developed through science. If God were to step in at least occasionally and give us a religious revelation that leads us to a new and important scientific discovery, then maybe you'd have a point. But that has never happened, and we have no reason to expect it to start happening.
Which science used to deny up until 60 years ago and then came to affirm?
The Big Bang was proposed in 1931. And as with all things in science, it has a whole history of discoveries by other scientists that led to it. I bring this up because of something that happened with the development of the Big Bang theory that is relatively common in science, but doesn't happen at all with religion. Georges Lemaître, the physicist, and even though it's irrelevant here, I should mention that he was also a Catholic priest, who first published the Big Bang theory, independently derived the Friedman equations for an expanding universe. That is to say, two scientists looking at the same data arrived at the exact same conclusion on their own. That does not happen with religion. Never in the history of the world is there a single instance of two cultures that are isolated from each other developing the same religion. Religion is not something that you can derive from a study of the world. It is, as Christy pointed out, the result of people guessing at explanations for what were, at the time, unexplained phenomena. When people are making shit up, there might be some common themes that emerge, but if they are truly isolated from each other, these specific details will never line up. But in science, two scientists who are completely isolated from each other will regularly come up with the same idea. Stevin and Galileo both gave their own independent demonstrations that heavy and light objects fall with the same acceleration. And they both developed the hydrostatic paradox independently of each other. Mathematical logarithms were developed independently by John Napier and, I'm sorry for the pronunciation here, Joost Bergy. Calculus was developed nearly simultaneously by Isaac Newton, Wilhelm Leibniz, and Pierre de Fermat. I'm just blanket apology for all these pronunciations, I'm sorry, but I could go on with these simultaneous discoveries. I didn't even get to the classic example of the theory of evolution being developed simultaneously by Darwin and Wallace. Though I guess now I have.
And how does your idea of science supposedly digging religion's grave fit, for example, with the fact that the very person who initially came up with the scientific method, Francis Bacon, was himself a Christian?
It's actually completely irrelevant. Remember earlier when I said that we have light bulb, sonar, and insulin because of Canadians? Yeah, the inventors of those things being Canadian is about as relevant as any particular scientist being a Christian. Being Canadian did not give them any special insight. That just happens to have been their country of origin. Same goes for religion. Francis Bacon's Christianity did not give him extra insight into his development of the scientific method. It's just another fact about his life.
And how much more will we learn through science and research over the next 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, if humanity lasts that long?
I don't know how much it will be, but it will be a lot, I suppose. So? Oh, I get it. I guess you think all this stuff will supposedly provide evidence for there not being a God.
That's not what I got out of that at all. To me, it seemed more like God is irrelevant. Who cares what the various religions say about God? Religion hasn't given us squat when it comes to science. But also, given that the scientific trend has been for natural explanations to replace supernatural explanations for various observed phenomena, and never the reverse, we kinda can expect that as science progresses, there will be a smaller gap of unknowns in which God is able to live.
Or no, let me be more accurate. You feel like this stuff will provide evidence against God.
Yeah. I feel like, given the fact that not one single supernatural explanation for any phenomenon in history has ever successfully replaced a natural explanation, but natural explanations are constantly replacing supernatural ones, it is reasonable to expect that natural explanations will continue to replace supernatural ones. This doesn't disprove God per se, but it is a very strong argument against any of the arguments for God that rely on something that we do not currently know or understand about science, like, say, the cosmological argument.
Well, it seems to me that you are more religious than you'd like to think, because you're exercising faith that the future of science will confirm your atheistic presuppositions.
In the sense that faith can sometimes mean trust based on previous experience, yes. But as much as apologists love the tu quoque, that is the you use faith too argument, the definition of faith that is used by someone who trusts science to continue doing what science has always done is quite different than the definition of faith found in the Bible, which is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Literally, blind faith.
Oh, the irony of you moving on to say,
I think it's easy to see God when you're already presupposing that God exists.
And I think it's at least as easy to not see God when you're already presupposing that he doesn't exist.
Here's the thing with that, though. If God weren't busy being the hide-and-seek champion of the universe, it would be an easy matter for him to conclusively demonstrate his existence to even the most strident of non-believers. So if God exists and wants us to know that he exists, it would not be easy for someone to not see God based on the presupposition of his non-existence. If a friend tells me that they have a girlfriend from summer camp who is hotter than Phoebe Cates, but various circumstances prevent me from ever talking to her or hearing from her in any way or meeting her at all, then it's reasonable to doubt her existence.
Susie with a Z, she's from Utah.
Girls go to science camp?
Susie does, she's a genius.
Is she cute?
Think Phoebe Cates, only hotter.
But if you introduce me to her, then even if I started from a position of assuming that she does not exist, I would immediately discard that presupposition to account for the new experience of actually meeting her.
Susie!
Yeah? Who the heck are you? And what are you doing in my room?
But really, all of that is completely irrelevant because of what we discussed earlier about how significantly more people convert from Christianity to unaffiliated than the other way around, meaning that it's far more common to start with God's existence as a presupposition and then be convinced that he actually doesn't exist than it is to start with atheism as a presupposition, which is quite telling. If we stick to the girlfriend from camp analogy, it is significantly easier to convince the skeptical friend that the girlfriend is real than it is to convince the person claiming to have a girlfriend that she is not real when he's actually met her and spent time with her and has a relationship with her. But if there really is no girlfriend and the person claiming to have one has put so much effort in convincing everyone else that she's real that he has also come to believe that she's real, then it will be easier for him to figure out that she's not than it will for others to become convinced of her existence. To simplify all of this whole thing down to one statement, if God were real, more people would convert to Christianity than out of it. But they don't, so he's not.
But if you come to it without that presupposition, you're going to have more questions than conclusions. I think that's the whole point.
Yeah, and actually that brings us to the most important aspect of all of this. Ideally, we would come to the question of God's existence the same way the friend in the camp girlfriend scenario would come to the question of the girlfriend's existence, without any presuppositions. You wouldn't just assume when your friend comes back from camp that he has a girlfriend, and so when he tells you it confirms that assumption, but you also don't assume that he has not gotten a girlfriend there. You approach it without any previous assumptions and let the evidence speak for itself. If he says he has a girlfriend but you can never meet, talk to, or see pictures of her, then you may come to doubt her existence. But if you are introduced to her, that will cause you to accept her existence. Same with God. It would be best to approach the question of God's existence without any presuppositions either way. I don't assume that there is not a God until you convince me otherwise. I'm just waiting for you to give me convincing evidence for your God's existence. And you're making excuses as to why I can never just meet him. Oh, you have to believe in him first and seek him out before he'll introduce himself to you. He's the all-powerful creator of the universe. He doesn't owe you an audience. Maybe if you read your Bible more or went to church, then he'd show himself to you. Etc., etc. It's really quite pathetic.
100%. Are you talking about the fact that you should stop coming to science with your own atheistic presuppositions? Yes, I agree. That's the whole point indeed.
Yeah, actually, for the most part, science has nothing to do with the existence of God one way or the other. But for some reason, religion keeps opposing science, as we can see with the people who deny evolution and the Big Bang today. Often, with the same people who deny the Big Bang, turning around and using the Big Bang as evidence for the beginning of the universe, as Lucas himself has done in this very video. Though, to be fair, I don't know if Lucas denies the Big Bang, and if he does, he might be one of these people who doesn't deny the event itself, just denies the age of the universe. I know he is an intelligent design advocate, and most of them fall into the young Earth creationist category, but there are a handful of ID advocates that accept the age of the universe along with the Big Bang, but just deny that evolution would be possible without a God's intervention. And Lucas might fall closer to that category than the young Earth creationist side of the camp, though we do know from previous videos that I've responded to that he does deny evolution, so maybe he does accept the Big Bang theory? It's hard to tell, and from my perspective, it looks like apologists leave that aspect of their apologetics vague on purpose in order to avoid this very conflict. So yeah, science doesn't have anything to do with the existence of God, but people who believe in the existence of God keep fighting against science in order to protect their dogma. So when science confirms findings that contradict people's religious beliefs, they try to make it about the existence of God, even when it's not. That's it for this one. Don't forget to go to merch.vicerhino.com and use code RHINO15 for 15% off all of my swaggy swag merch stuff. I'm not cringy at all. Today's comment of the day comes to us from iBenjamin1000, who says, "Just stumbled onto your channel and I wasn't sure at first what the atheists are afraid of a banana anecdote was about. Suddenly, I was absolutely delighted by the coining of the phrase bananecdote. As someone who loves portmanteaus, I am now also delighted by the word bananecdote. That's amazing. Thank you very much for that." Thanks for watching. I'll be back next Friday with more, but if you need to get your rhino fix in before then, I livestream with Cirrus every Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern on my other channel, The Watering Hole. Thanks to Tim Robertson for being my Patreon and sponsorship manager, and special thanks as always to my patrons, Mark Guimaraes, the blanket apology for mispronouncing names applies to this one as well, and all the rest, who are the girlfriend that my channel got while at camp. If you'd like to be hotter than Phoebe Cates, you can join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino, or by supporting the channel in one of the other methods that can be found at links.vicerhino.com, which is also where you'll find links to my other projects. If for whatever reason you want to send me stuff, my PO Box address is in the description. See you next time! Anyway, my point is that we have not made any scientific progress because of religion, despite there being more than ample opportunity. I sound like Kevin Sorbo saying territories.
I could get a very good place throughout West in the King's territories.
When God set out to create the heavens and earth, the world being then a dog, come on, stop it. What are you throwing around? Why are you even playing with that? No! How'd you get a spatula? Jeez, dog. Jeez, dog. Doggy woggy. Doggy woggy. Okay, you come be in video. Okay, you run away. She doesn't want to be in the video today. But she does want to chew on a spatula loudly off camera.